Welcome in. In this lesson, we're diving into a very specific, very powerful jungle and old-school DNB move, using percussion layer offset as a bassline design tool inside Ableton Live 12. And this is not just about making things feel a little off-grid for the sake of it. The whole idea here is to make the bass and percussion interlock, to make them push and pull against each other, to get that gritty, restless, forward driving pressure that old school drum and bass does so well. So instead of thinking, I've got a bass line, and I've got a percussion layer, think, I've got one part that anchors the groove, and another part that shadows it, challenges it, and slightly disagrees with it. That's the magic. We're especially aiming at that riser energy, those build-up moments where the groove feels like it's climbing, slipping, and tightening all at once. The timing should feel intentional, but not overly clean. In this style, a little imbalance is a feature, not a bug. Let's set the scene. Open Ableton Live 12 and set your tempo somewhere around 170 to 174 BPM if you want that classic jungle and old-school feel. If you want a slightly more modern edge, push it up a little higher, maybe 174 to 178. But for this lesson, 172 is a beautiful starting point. Now build the project in three parts. One track for drums or a break reference. One track for the main bass foundation. And one track for the percussion layer that's going to interact with the bass. Keep the setup simple at first so you can really hear the timing relationship. Now, the first thing to understand is role. The bass is the anchor. The percussion layer is the rhythmic shadow. That means the bass needs to be stable, focused, and physically grounded. The percussion can be more flexible, more sneaky, more human. If both of them try to lead at once, the groove gets blurry. So give each layer a job and stick to it. Start with the bass foundation. You can build this with Operator, Waveatable, or any other synth you like, but the goal is straightforward, low-end authority with enough harmonic movement to be heard on smaller speakers. A clean sub layer works great for this. A sine or triangle wave, mono. Simple note lengths, no unnecessary movement. Then, if you want, add a mid layer with a little detune, saturation, or filter texture so the bass has some bite. The rhythm of the bass doesn't need to be complicated. In fact, it should probably be quite simple, maybe 4 to 6 notes over 2 bars. Leave gaps, let the drums breathe, let the phrase have shape. Old school DNB bass lines often hit hard because of what they leave out. Now add the percussion layer. This is where we get into the core of a technique. The percussion layer should not just be extra sound. It should be a timing counterweight. Good choices here are short, sharp, percussive sounds like rimshots, muted toms, congas, woodblocks, claves, chopped break slices, little foley clicks, or tuned metallic hits. You want something that has a definite attack and a short decay. The sound should speak quickly and get out of the way. If needed, use simpler for one-shots or chopped slices, drum rack for layering, or sampler if you want more control. Then shape it so it stays out of the bass zone. High pass it. Keep the low mids under control. Make sure it supports the groove instead of fighting the sub. Now comes the fun part, offset. This is the whole point of the lesson. You want the percussion hits to land slightly ahead of the bass note in some places, and slightly behind in others. That tiny timing shift changes the emotional feel of the entire phrase. Ahead gives you urgency, behind gives you weight, drag, and menace. And I mean tiny. In DNB, micro-timing is everything. You might only need 5 to 15 milliseconds to feel a difference. Sometimes even less. You do not need to swing things wildly. You just need enough displacement to make the layers feel like they're breathing differently. There are a few ways to do this in Ableton Live 12. The most precise is manual MIDI nudging. Program the bass first, then copy or complement the rhythm on the percussion track, and nudge the percussion notes slightly off the grid. You can drag them or use the arrow keys to push them by tiny amounts. This is great when you want a very deliberate relationship between specific hits. Another option is track delay. That's useful if you want the entire percussion layer to feel a little early or a little late without moving every note manually. It's fast, easy, and great for auditioning groove changes. But remember, even a tiny amount can go a long way. And if your percussion is a sample or a chopped slice, you can also shift the sample start point in simpler. That changes the feel without changing the MIDI pattern itself, which is a very handy trick when you want subtle groove movement. Now, here's an important teacher note. Do not offset randomly. Offset musically. A strong DNB approach is to use the offset as phrasing. For example, let the percussion lead early in the first half of a phrase, then fall slightly behind in the second half, or alternate every bar. That creates tension and release. It gives the listener something to follow. For example, imagine a two-bar loop. In the first bar, The percussion maybe teases the bass by arriving just before a couple of key hits. Then in the second bar, it answers more lazily, sitting just behind the beat. That push-pull motion is what gives the groove life. And this is where the snare becomes your secret reference point. In jungle and DNB, the snare often defines the phrase more than the kick. So when you're placing your offset percussion, ask yourself, is it teasing the snare, answering it, or creating tension before it arrives? That question can help the whole groove feel much more intentional. Now add groove carefully. The groove pool in Ableton Live 12 is useful here, especially if you apply a light swing to the percussion layer. Try something subtle, maybe in the 54 to 58% range. You want a sense of human motion, not a lurching mess. Usually, the bass should stay tighter than the percussion. Let the top rhythm move a little more. Keep the low end disciplined. If you swing the bass too much, the whole thing can lose its physical punch. So use swing as an accent, not a crutch. Now we shape the sound. For the percussion layer, a solid chain might be utility, EQ8, saturator, auto filter, and maybe a light compressor or glue compressor. High pass the low end so it doesn't cloud the bass. Tame any harshness if the click is too sharp. Add a little saturation if it needs grit. Use auto filter if you want the layer to open up or close down over time. That's especially useful in risers and build-ups. For the bass, stay cleaner. Use EQ to carve space. Use saturator for harmonics. Keep the sub-mono with utility. Make sure the bottom end is locked in and stable so that offset percussion has something solid to dance around. And now, let's turn this into riser energy. This technique is brilliant for transitions because you can make the rhythm feel like it's evolving without resorting to a giant white noise sweep. Start sparse. Then, every bar or two, increase the percussion density slightly. Move some hits earlier. Shorten the note lengths. Open the filter a bit more. Maybe add a second percussion layer higher in pitch or brighter in tone. The result is a rising sense of tension that feels very jungle, very physical, very alive. A great move is to duplicate the percussion phrase and make one copy early and one copy late. You can pan them differently, filter them differently, or saturate them differently. That creates a wider, more animated groove without needing a huge amount of material. Very effective. Very musical. And here's a really useful advanced idea. Don't offset everything. If every element is shifting around, the groove loses focus. You want one element to stay brutally stable. Usually that's the sub, the kick, or the main snare pocket. That stable anchor is what makes the moving percussion feel exciting instead of messy. Also, watch the low mids. If your offset percussion lives too much around 200 to 500 HE, it can blur the bass identity pretty fast. So clean it up. Make sure the percussion is sharp, lean, and supportive. Another pro trick is to vary the offset across the phrase. Don't keep one setting for the whole loop if you can help it. Try moving from early to late across a few bars, then tighten everything up right before the drop. That drift then snap feeling is pure tension. If you want to practice this properly, build a simple two-bar loop at 172 BPM. Make a bassline with just a few notes. Add one percussion one shot, like a rim or tom. Copy the rhythm to the percussion track, then offset some hits early and some late. High pass it. Add a little saturation. Then loop it and listen for the conversation between the bass and the percussion. That's the key word here, conversation. The percussion should feel like it's talking back to the bass. If it feels like two separate ideas, go back and simplify. If it feels muddy, reduce the amount of offset or clean up the low mids. If it feels too rigid, add a little more microtiming or swing. You're always balancing clarity and motion. And for homework, try building a 16-bar tension section. Start sparse, add density gradually, introduce early and late copies of the percussion, increase the filter movement, then tighten everything right before the drop. Keep the low end mono. Use no more than 3 percussion sounds. Let the groove come from phrasing and placement, not from stuffing the arrangement full of noise. So to recap, percussion layer offset is a seriously powerful bassline design technique in Ableton Live 12. It helps you create jungle pressure, old-school DNB motion, and riser energy by turning microtiming into musical tension. Use manual nudging, track delay, sample start offsets, swing, filtering, and saturation to shape the relationship between bass and percussion. If the bass is the engine, then offset percussion is the steering wheel and the turbulence. Use it carefully, use it musically, and that groove will come alive.